at Rocket, we know buying a home is exciting and a bit overwhelming. Ready to buy a home but stressed about writing those big checks? Rocket can help you save. When you buy with Rocket Homes and finance with Rocket Mortgage, you can get up to $10,000 cash toward closing from Rocket Mortgage. It's a pretty big deal. And one you can get only with Rocket. Visit onlywithrocket.com to get started today.
For purchase transactions only, must log rate between 331 and 831. Call 8337-ROCKET for conditions and restrictions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice still of the Christian resistance. And this is day three of Pledge Week. Day three of Pledge Week, folks. We're going after it. We're going to bring America. We're doing everything we can to bring America back to one nation under God. And back there in the phone booth, there behind the glass cage in the back, you've got Frank and Randy and Eric, and they're waiting to go. They are faithful and very, very capable volunteers. And then our producer tonight, we got him in the glass cage between here and there, where we can keep an eye on him. You don't rile Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, there you go. And then you heard the cackle. There's always cackling, but there's never any eggs. There you go, another cackle. It's Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. And then right here, right across from me, you have that well-known radio host here at 1220 WHK, the Blowtorch of the East, as it's called. From the sword and the dove, none other than the Mike Pastor, Mike Fodor.
Yes, thank you for having me. We swapped seats just an hour earlier. I was in the flying the plane, but now I'm the co-pilot. So.
All right. Well, we got you in a good place over there. And that was a very, very good interview. Thank you for the interview.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the Clintons in that one. Yeah, we have a lot of good stories to tell there.
Yeah, there's a whole lot to tell there. And then way out in North Carolina, she's pert, she's pretty, she's very smart, she's witty, and she is Miss Herbalist, none other than Wendy Wilson.
Oh, good evening, Pastor. How are you?
We're doing good, young lady. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All righty. And then way out there yonder in Missouri, he's known, he's legendary, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Good evening. Pleasure to join this illustrious group tonight. Ready to go to work.
We're going to be,
raise some money, don't we?
Yeah, we have lightning rounds. We got to raise some money. Airtime is expensive, folks, but we're getting the word out. And in 50 years, I can say this, in 50 years, we've never given anything less than our best. Not one time. And in that 50 years, we've never compromised. We've never stood down. We've always stood up to evil. And we're going to continue to do that because we really do love our Lord. And, we want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We really want to hear those words, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So tonight, Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
Treason, Traitors, and the Forthright.
And we're going to pick it up tonight over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I'm going to have Mike read verses 12 through 14. And you read, Joe, 15 through 17. So all go right. ahead, Mike, read, start with verse 12 through 14.
And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword."
And the king's servant said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off.
All right, so when we take a look at this, Absalom, now we have here, we've got not just treason. Treason was Ahithophel, but we have treachery. Treachery is when your own family, within your own house, where you're betrayed within your own house. And here, now, if we were to take this and compare it to something that's happening today, that's in the news every day, where we see treason, I would have to go back to January 6th. Now, Absalom the king, or David the king, was... That was like the president today. The president would be like the king. And as Ahithophel, he was David's top man. He was like his vice president, if you will. Second in charge.
As Larry Nichols.
Yeah. And what happened here, we see, how would you compare that, Joe, with Mike Pence, who just recently came out and said he'd be glad to testify against President Trump?
Yeah, it was kind of like the kiss of death.
Kiss of death for who, though?
It's about as much betrayal as you can have.
That is betrayal.
Kiss of death for his campaign.
Yep. But we got to go to this. I got to do this right now. All right. We have, wow, so far tonight, I got to give the number out. It's 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We have out there already, Wendy and Zach have pledged 1,000. And we have right here, right in the studio with us, Pastor Mike Porter. He has pledged 100. And we have Bob and Marie out here from Ohio here. Hasek, they pledged 200. All right, folks, we got to keep going. It's 888-281-1110. Now, so on January 6th, when Mike Pence had the responsibility, okay, the responsibility when those men stood before him and said, "Look, right here, we have all the evidence of election fraud." Okay, Josh Hawley, senator, stood there. Ted Cruz stood there. Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, stood there. They said, "We have all of this evidence right here of election fraud." Mike Pence's job was to say, "All right, I want to take 10 days and I want to look at that," because his job was to certify a fair election. That was his job, a legal, a lawful election. So, but Mike says, "Well, I didn't have the constitutionally, I didn't have that kind of authority," right? That's what they said. But how do we know that wasn't true? Well, we know it wasn't true because, first of all, it makes it very, very clear that there's a term called premise of treason, which means, let's just say, Joe, Mike, let's say, Mike, that you and Joe were committing treason, and I overheard you, and you were plotting to commit treason, and I overheard you do that, but I did nothing. I didn't say a word. And then later it came out after you two got caught, because Kyle's probably the one turns you in. Look at him over there. After you guys got caught, if it came out that I heard that, and I heard the conversation, and I did nothing, what would have happened to me, Joe?
You would be charged with the same charge.
The law says that's right. If you're aware of that treason and you do nothing. Now, it's different between, say, a pastor and one of his congregation, the privilege
right.
of pastor.
Confession.
This
yeah,
is
that's
different.
A different story, yep.
It's different, right. So now, but how else do we know? There's another thing that they just gave it away. What did the Democrats do immediately after that? What did they do? They committed an act. They said that they're going to change the law, the procedure, so that the vice president does not have the authority, so that he does not have. So if they're going to change it so that he does not have the authority not to certify, then what does that tell you?
That he did.
He had the authority. Well, most of the constitutional scholars had said he had the authority to do that. That went with the position. It was not uncommon to have things called into question, and he was the head of the group, and then it was his duty to have done so, to allow the most everything to be brought to the floor of the House, and he didn't.
Let me ask you this question. Do you believe Mike Pence was a born-again Christian?
I don't know. I don't.
I mean, he
but
confessed.
It doesn't matter.
That.
I can't look, huh?
Do you think he prayed about that decision?
Well, I saw what happened after he did that, when Nancy Pelosi came up and gave him a coin, and then they embraced each other. How much fellowship has light to do with darkness?
Shouldn't have any.
What does that tell you there?
So is he an insider, Mike Pence?
Okay, I can't look up on Mike's heart. I don't know, but I do know this. I remember him saying very clearly when he was the governor of Indiana, when they tried to pass same-sex marriage, he said, I will not sign that. They said, yeah, you are, Mike. You're going to sign it. And guess what Mike did? He signed it.
Did he really? Wow.
So he caved, right?
I guess he caved a few times.
By his actions, he has caved before.
This
is an indication he might have caved again, yep.
So, and you know, look, I know the image that he puts out there, and I know he's been very active pro-lifer, but he's just got a bad habit of caving when it really counts.
Well, we liked him up until that moment, right? We all liked Mike Pence.
Well, I was really disappointed from the very day when he caved and he signed that bill after he said he wouldn't, okay? But what happened with, you saw it right there. He sold us out, okay? Now, here's the thing. When they say that, they're trying to charge President Trump because they say President Trump knew he didn't really believe there was election fraud. Let me ask you this. What about the 2 million people that showed up there on January 6th? Did they just come up because they really didn't have anything better to do? Or were they there because they believed, and with stacks and stacks and stacks and mounds of evidence, that election was stolen? I think they believed the election was stolen, right?
Right.
I was going to be there myself, okay?
Why didn't you go?
Because the two guys that were driving our van, both of them came down with a bad case of stomach flu, okay? But it was another name for it.
Do you think you would have went in that day?
I probably would have been, yeah.
you would have been in jail for sure.
That's what you call God's intervention.
Yeah,
he did it in a very...
But here now, when we see...
Nobody was going to get around it, yeah, not easily.
So what do you think it hurt King David the most to be betrayed by Ahithophel or be betrayed by Absalom, his own son?
Probably his own son, but what was interesting in verse 6, it said, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Stole them by what? Lie and deceit.
Yep.
So, you know, he wanted to be a judge, and he kind of tried to make everybody happy, please the people, giving them what they want. Maybe not what they should have had or needed, but what they wanted. Sounds kind of like our government today, trying to buy votes by giving people what they want, not what they need or not what they should have.
Well, you notice they did something
they want.
There's another similarity here. But first, I got to give that phone number out. It's 888, folks. The lines have not been ringing. I got to give this number out. It's 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you. We really do. Or you won't be hearing from us. And again, right now, as we get deeper and deeper into the apostasy and closer to the imminent return of our Lord, are these radio voices going to be more needed than ever, Mike?
I believe so, as long as we can keep radio on the air and keep the airwaves free.
Well, we as long as we can, we've got to give it everything we've got, don't we?
We do, and that's why you need the support of the listeners, because you're not getting any government support, nor do you want that.
Absolutely. Now, what you see there, verse 15 and 16, how they went after David's staff, his servants, too. Right here, I have an article where they're in Georgia. They're going after, these are the people that were President Trump's staff. Wait a minute, wrong page.
Exactly. They're trying to intimidate, threaten, just like they did to General Michael Flynn, see if they can break him, frighten him, you know.
Yeah, they
you
start
run
with
out of money defending yourself, then it's a warning to everybody around Trump. You back Trump, we're coming for you, and we'll mess you up bad.
They've got the list of that they're one or two. There's 14 altogether, but the Rudy Giuliani, James Charles Eastman, Mark Randall Meadows, Kenneth Chisbro, Jeffrey Robert Clark, Jenna Ellis, Ray Stalling Smith. It goes on down the line, and they're doing the same thing here that they did, Absalom did to King David's staff. So let's turn over to 2 Samuel 11. In 2 Samuel 11, we'll just start in Joe, you read verses 1 through 5.
All right. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child.
All right, so now here's David. David, for once, instead of going out to battle, he stays home to rest. He didn't figure he needed to go out to battle in this one. And so now, did everybody know where the king's house was? The king's house was the top of the hill, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And everybody, so when Bathsheba was out there bathing, she knew if she could see the king's house, then guess what? The king could see her, huh?
See her.
And so do you think she'd have been out there bathing on the roof if Uriah had been home?
No.
She'd have probably been bathing inside. What do you think, Wendy?
Oh, yeah.
And
she
so
on the roof, yeah.
And she wouldn't have been out there if Uriah had been home, okay, bathing on the roof. And so now here, she had, when it says, for she had been purified from her uncleanness, that meant that when she went and laid with David, she had just had her period, huh? And if she just had her period, what does that mean? It means that she knew that she wasn't pregnant, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. And so she knew that she wasn't pregnant, and that's how she knew that David was the father of the child, huh?
What's also, and she'd be the most fertile, too,
husband,
right?
Husband was not there and couldn't be the father. Yep.
And so here, you know, it's a much more common thing here in America today now with what we have called all these hot wives. There's a lot of that happening. But so then Uri, David, when he realizes this, he tells Uri, hey, Uri, get back here, get home, and go in there and spend some R&R with the missus. And Uri says what? Well, go ahead and pick it up at verse 6, and Mike, and read it all the way through down through verse 12.
And David sent to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down into his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thou soul livest, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow.
So now here, Uriah probably would have been better off if he'd listened, because actually he'd gotten an order from the king, huh?
Yes.
Okay. But do you think he might have been a tad suspicious if King David had said, "Look, Uriah, I demand that you go in there and lie with your wife"? Do you think that might have said, "I'm wondering why he's doing that"?
Probably would have raised an eyebrow.
Yeah. Okay. So now he goes, and then he tells Joab to make sure that when you go out to battle, that Uri is in the heat of the battle. He's at the front of the battle, and then pull back and let him get killed. And that's what happened, huh?
It's a very sad story, because he was a convert. He was a Hittite. He wasn't even Jewish. And he loved the Lord, and he loved David, the king.
He went from actually being a mercenary to, and the Uri the Hittite, he was one of the mighty men. He actually was kind of a high-ranking
like Secret officer. Service almost, yeah.
And so here now, when he did that, now after that, Nathan the prophet came along, and he told David about a story about this fella who had a lot of wives, and he had a lot of lambs, and he wanted to make a stranger that came, he wanted to, you know, show him hospitality. So instead of ye taking one of his many lambs, he took the lamb of a poor man who had a family and just one lamb, and took his lamb. David said, "That man shall surely die this day." And Nathan said, "You are that man." But David didn't die. But who did? The child that was conceived with David and Bathsheba, huh?
David would have died if he hadn't repented on the spot.
Absolutely. We'll be back right after this.
Now how you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit.